Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Make an announcement today I'm announcing that I will not be seeking re-election in 2022. Jill and family and I have been discussing this at length for some time, and I think this is the right decision for us. And why we're doing that now is there's no doubt that the last year certainly has been more than trying. It's been probably, as I've told Andrew, it's probably 5 years combined into one. I'm very worried about both our country, our state, and most importantly, our city continuing to be torn by these things. I think things have become more divisive since the election in 2000, but for the most part, they had not permeated down to local level. I certainly think within the last 12 months, things have become uglier, more difficult, and more divisive in what we're doing. And I hope that, again, we don't make those same mistakes.
So Mayor Grover Robinson yesterday at his press conference dropping a bombshell that he's not going to run for re-election in 2022, which he was certainly going to do. I've talked with him many times about his plans to run again and the likely threat coming from Sheriff Morgan, former Sheriff Morgan, other people potentially as well. But he says, look, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. He goes on vacation, comes back, he has a city council meeting. He's like, yeah, this is not what I signed up for.
It sounds like it was a combination of frustration at city council and also the vacation experience. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
Well, I think there is something to, there's a point at which I've always said, as long as I'm having fun and feel like I'm making a positive difference, I want to keep doing it when I'm no longer having fun. I think doing that and getting out of town and doing that experience did make me realize there are other things I could be doing. There are other things I could be doing and still making a difference here at the city of Pensacola. But I got to enjoy what I do. And that's a big part of it.
I mean, clearly, you have to read, you barely have to read between the lines here to find out that he's not having fun. He doesn't like what's happening. He doesn't like what he's doing. He thinks he's kind of accomplished a lot of the stuff that he set out to accomplish in his transition report. But if he repeatedly says, I could be doing something that I enjoy, that I'm having fun, that I like. Well, I mean, in contrast to what's happening now, right? So now you've got a lame duck mayor for the next, not quite 2 years, year and three quarters. And I'll just be honest, I don't think it gets easier now. I mean, maybe it gets easier because you don't have to think about the reelection, but in terms of getting things done, it seems like it's harder now. Or maybe he feels liberated from having to play to the politics. He can just do what makes sense to him for the next year and a half, whatever, and serve out his term.
Yeah. And, Andrew, like you, I don't live in the city, although my neighborhood's weird. Everything around me is in the city, but my one little carve-out isn't. But now you got to think, now that you know that he's a year and a half away from the election, his term's over, I wonder mentally how into the job he's going to be from here on out.
Yeah, and I don't expect him to do. I mean, you don't announce you're leaving office like this and do further politics. Like, I think politics, he's done. I didn't ask him. I'll ask him on Wednesday. We'll have a chance to talk about this tomorrow. But I think he wants to do real estate or something else or serve or whatever. Or, and he said this yesterday, and I thought it was a really poignant moment, honestly.
No Grover Robinson has lived past the age of 66, and that's 15 years. It kind of puts you in perspective of where things are. If I'm going to do things, I want to do things that I enjoy and I'm having a good time.
Who doesn't? Right? I mean, look, I love doing this job. It's a lot of work. It's weird hours. I hate the hours, both the amount of them and the when they come during the day. But I love the job. Like, I enjoy the job. But if I didn't like this, peace out. if I wasn't having fun doing this show, there would be another occupation in the McKay household. So, have you ever not gone on vacation and thought, right around Thursday, you're thinking, yeah. And then maybe Friday and you're packing your bags on Saturday and you're like, what's that boss's email again? Everybody's thought this. Everybody. So I get where he's coming from. I do. 437-1620. Now, people online have been very uncharitable talking about, you know, they're glad for this. I think the mayor had a hard re-election ahead. He definitely had a hard re-election ahead between the George Floyd protests and the bridge and the CPAC, which has been really, they had their last meeting tonight. We haven't really talked about that much today. I have a lot to say about that, but we haven't talked about it today. They have their last meeting tonight with the monument, okay, with the mask mandate. There's a lot of people that are angry at him for different reasons sometimes. Okay, and if Lumen May were to run and very much challenge him with the black vote, obviously. And if David Morgan runs and challenges him from the right, you know, Lumen from the left and the minority vote and David Morgan from the right, you know, and especially if he has any, if Kevin Crispin doesn't wind up being chief, the law enforcement, I mean, just thinking electoral politics, it's a head. But that's not why he said he's leaving. He's not leaving because he doesn't think he can win. His whole family's always run for election. That's not the issue. I think he just not enjoying it. 437-1620. So the question now is, who do you think is gonna run, and who do you want to have run? He mentioned Jared Moore yesterday. Jared might well. I don't know, but I don't think Jared. I think Jared is just, he's like one term too soon. Now, if Grover doesn't fill out his term, then Jared is the interim until they can appoint somebody, because that's how it works. Jared, city council president, would be the mayor temporarily, and then they would appoint somebody within 30 days. But who do you think is going to... There's a lot of options here. And I remember we had this conversation a little while back, a kind of a who would you want to see run for mayor or who would you want to be mayor? There's a lot of local candidates, not necessarily people who are elected officials. You know, there's a lot of people who just serve in administrative capacity. Because remember, the mayor is an administrator. He's not a legislator, right? I am unfit to be an administrator. Just say it, you know, I'd have to like hire Davis to be my logistics guy. I'd have to have my wife working as the chief of staff. That would actually be pretty appealing. She could be the chief of staff, and I could be the one who does the press conferences. But you know, this is a hard job to do, and it takes a certain kind of experience. And honestly, I think the mayor's been doing a pretty good job for the most part. Certainly very transparent. Man, yeah, I know he's created a lot of opponents with some of the positions that he's taken, a lot of policies he's enacted. 437-1620, 437-1620. Who would you want to see be the mayor, or who do you think is going to run? Again, I think the obvious candidates are David Morgan and Lumen May, although I'm not sure that Sheriff Morgan is going to run. We'll see. 437-1620, we'll talk about your suggestions when we come back. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Well, I received a report of a minor accident that's taking place westbound in the middle of the Escambia Bay Bridge. So it's not exactly telling me what lane this is taking place in, nor am I really not really seeing delays, but this is just an alert that I received. Please just use caution when in this area. Avalon Boulevard still flowing smoothly in both directions, but I am noticing some slight delays as you're going southbound before you get to the hump of Garcon Point Bridge. Gulf Breeze Parkway, with that being said, is showing eastbound delays back to around the area of the Tiger Point Country Club entrance. If you notice anything else, let me know at 2626-111. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Local news is our job, and we take it seriously.
Florida gas prices showing some signs of weakness for the first time this year. The state's average declining a couple of cents last week as domestic gas supplies strengthen and global fuel demand concerns creep back into the market. Average price for a gallon of gas in Florida right now, $2.88.
Local news every 30 minutes from the newsroom that's open all day. News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Mentioned a moment ago, and you've heard reported since yesterday's press conference, Mayor Grover Robinson is not running for re-election. Who do you think will run, or who would you maybe like to see be the mayor? I have a big long list of possibles here. Got a couple of texts, and somebody here says, Let's see. If Lumen May runs and wins, because I have said I think Commissioner May will definitely run. After the way he treated a PPD officer during a traffic stop, which was he was live on the air with us at that time, interestingly, there will be a mass exodus from PPD. Might as well consolidate with the county now. Interesting observation how law enforcement would respond to the candidate, especially if it's versus Morgan, right? Let's see. What it here? Firm, fair, and being consistent is what it takes to be a good leader. Grover's downfall is he just didn't seem to be able to handle all the diversity and be consistent in his decisions. I've heard that criticism before as well. Somebody here says I'd vote for David Morgan or Lawrence Powell. Somebody else says Grover caved on too many major issues. 437-1620, 437-1620. I mean, there's sort of the obvious potential candidates, right? I mean, Brian Spencer, who ran before, but I don't think Brian wants to get back in. Just personally, I don't think so. I think Drew Buchanan will try again. You know, he's been running the chairman of the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. I don't think the chances there are very high, but I think he's optimistic about that. John Peacock, I think, would be another who might well get in. Certainly has, you know, the experience and the connections. I don't think David Stafford or Pam Childers, either of whom potentially could win, but I don't think either one of them wants to leave the job that they've pretty much got for life right now. Pam Childers and David Stafford, I think, can take those jobs for the rest of their lives and enjoy them and be satisfied with it. One interesting one that somebody suggested to me that I had not been thinking about is D.C. Reeves. You know, I don't how many texts I got after D.C. Reeves was on the wrap with us the other day, people saying he should run for office. He should run for office. He certainly got the backing of the paper and Quint Studer, which doesn't hurt, right? 437-1620. I like DC. Very, very sharp guy. 437-1620, 437-1620. Diane Mack was the name that had come up when I was talking to folks. You know, former city council members like Larry Johnson and Andy Terhar are also possibilities. So, we'll see. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
A massive show of love and support will unfold in Colorado today for Officer Eric Talley. Police from other states expected to attend his public funeral that comes 8 days after Talley was gunned down in that grocery store shooting, one of the 10 victims killed there. New York appears to be on track to become the 15th state to legalize marijuana. Lawmakers expected to vote today on a bill to allow recreational use. Won't happen right away, though. Could take 18 months to 2 years while the state sets up its rules. And 40 years ago today, in 1981, President Ronald Reagan, shot by a would-be assassin as he left Washington's Hilton Hotel. Three other people wounded in that attack. Reagan spent the next 2 weeks in the hospital recovering. John Hinckley ordered to spend the rest of his life behind bars.
Wow, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's wild. Okay, so Mark Davis, you won't relate to this at all, but Mark, we're getting old.
Yeah, I'm thinking today when I saw this story and went, oh yeah, I was in my mid-20s.
I went to Little Caesars the other day because it was their last official day for the Pretzelroni that they don't call the right name. Mm-hmm. They still might have them in some places, but it was, you know, no more. They're not going to replace them. And I was talking to the gal there, and I said, you know, hey, how long has it been since Little Caesars was the pizza, you know, where it was
cheap pizza
where you bought one and got two and it was came in the white sleeve. And this woman, who I was guessing was like maybe 35, 40, looked at me like I had, you know, like I had an alien head on me. Like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, it wasn't that long a 35. Oh, God, it was a long time.
See, I mean, I can remember.
That was a long time ago.
I reported on this when it happened.
Right.
40 years ago.
Can I tell you a this day in history that you didn't report on?
What's that?
Alaska was purchased this day in history.
Are you sure I didn't?
I'm sure. In 1867.
Yeah. No, I missed that one.
And before that, the Florida Territory was created in 1822.
So. Yeah, I wasn't around for that one either. Brian Williams might have been.
Oh. Wow, that's a nice callback. I'll let you have that one all on its own. That's well done. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for traffic on the fives.
Garcon Point Bridge, taking a look at the southbound direction, it appears just to be pretty backed up. Before you get to the hump is where you'll be met with these delays. I would say 10 to 15 minutes extra to get you into Gulf Breeze, while northbound, after you get off the hump, it appears that it will check in clear once again. I'm seeing some slight delays, though, once you pass Garcon Point Bridge, but then just sort of just stays at a consistent speed the rest of the way going towards I-10. Going southbound towards I-10, I am seeing delays around San Moreno Street. Earlier, I had reported that there was an accident going westbound on Escambia Bay Bridge. It does not appear to be the case anymore. I-10, I-110 appear to be flowing smoothly. Same with the front gate of NES Pensacola. In this report, it is brought to you by Tire Trust. The Tire Trust Incorporated downtown Pensacola with complete full automotive service and free estimates for service you can trust. Put your trust in Tire Trust. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
I mentioned this a moment ago that Citizens Police Advisory Committee is having their last official meeting today. They're going to submit their report, and we'll see how it goes. I don't think, you know, the mayor's already said he doesn't want to keep them in existence, and I don't think they'll stay in existence. They might try to do something outside of official government work. City Council would have to vote for them. Of course, again, lame duck mayor, it's a little hard to explain for sure what City Council is going to do now. They might take all kinds of prerogatives, and who knows exactly what they're going to do. But the statement that was done for the Citizens Police Advisory Committee, it's interesting. I invited Drew Buchanan to come on the show today, and he didn't get back to me. We're fairly close. We get along just fine. It's not an issue. I don't think he's dodging. I just think he must not have seen the, or maybe he thought, well, I'm having the meeting tonight, so I'm just going to do it there. The draft of the chairman's statement, as opposed to the actual chairman's statement in the policy, completely different tone. Which, that happens, okay? Draft doesn't become the final. But I thought it was interesting because I was reading through the email thread about this, and the initial statement from the Citizens Police Advisory Committee goes like this. Pleased to present the report. From its inception, the CPAC was given great responsibilities with regards to enacting change to accomplish its mission, but with limited powers. So it's a complaint right from the start, which is fine. On many occasions, the CPAC and the PPD have collaborated and collectively agreed on issues that require reform. However, the road has not always been smooth. There were occasions the CPAC has encountered a police department that was fearful of oversight, protective of information, and found it challenging to consider themselves in need of reform. That's just not been my experience, but okay. He goes on, the CPAC has been substantially under-resourced for the tasks assigned, to making its work output all the more impressive. Then goes on to say, work of CPAC has been integral to the process. Progress we've seen to date, including department's mental health evaluation policy, implicit bias training. Hey, those were both in place before and not related to the CPAC, so don't take credit for those. Increasing transparency and accountability, okay, sure. And building community trust, also, okay, sure. Says they want a new proposed advisory oversight structure under City Council to make it permanent, basically, and says in spite of the challenges, CPAC has held a steadfast approach to this, and to ensure oversight authority, they want the ability to conduct investigations and recommend discipline, unfettered access to PPD documents, and the ability to prosecute officers for misconduct. That was in the first draft. The official version now, none of that stuff. It's all much more get along, nice, and gentle. Very interesting change from the draft to the final version. Morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. So we have a lot of stuff to get to with you, but I did want to start with this. Anything happened like overnight that we didn't already know about?
Well, unfortunately, we did have a report last night. Originally, it was a cardiac arrest in the area of Kim Strand and Conference Road. When we get there, we find out that actually it looked to be a victim of a stabbing. So there's a 50-year-old male that was killed, and we do have a suspect in custody, and we're still talking to him. I don't have any more information about that as of yet.
Okay, so, I mean, we don't know domestic or gang drugs, and we just don't know anything at this point. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, all we know is we have a victim and we do have a suspect in custody.
Man, well, I mean, I'm glad we have a suspect in custody, but that's horrible to lose somebody. You have a follow-up, I think, because you and I had talked previously about this extraordinarily strange story at the Shell station with the bikers versus the guy in the car that had come back multiple times to re-engage with these bikers. But I think you guys have an arrest here, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. As a follow-up, if you recall, about a week ago, we talked about a scenario in which about seven or eight individuals on motorcycles were at the Shell station on Nine Mile Road fueling their car, and a white Honda comes up, actually goes through three times. The first time he gets into a physical altercation, the second time and third time it looks like he comes out with a weapon and shoots at the avenging motorcyclists. Fortunately, no one was injured, but we did identify Delaney Jamal Battle Donson, who was 32 years old, and then we were looking for him. We ended up finding him. He has barricaded himself in a home, and we called our SWAT team out. This is the one where there's a little video. He was FaceTiming it, or he was live on it, talking to the deputies that were out there at the perimeter. So he ended up more or less surrendering and without incident. And so we're able to make the arrest in that case. He's being charged with the shootings at the Shell station.
Well, I mean, in the end, it sounds like the good news is nobody was hurt. You found your person, and especially when somebody's barricaded in a home, you never know how that goes. And, I mean, it can go sideways pretty quick. So good work. And, again, just the one thing, I'm always eager to remind people of the things I've learned that change my perception. The key is that the SWAT team, when you call them out, their job is to save lives. They're not to go in there and hurt people. Their job is to save lives. They're prepared for everything, but that's the goal. And I just want to make sure people remember that all the time. We have this story, and this is one of the ones that definitely we have to talk about, the Blue Angel grocery story. It looks like there was a case of maybe a mistaken identity, kind of a confusion. It's a bizarre story all around, and I know there's been a lot of criticisms of your officers related to this story. So can you maybe tell us what we know at this point, and what I assume there's an investigation, so I know you may be limited, but tell us what we know.
Yeah, well, we were investigating a couple hours earlier. We were investigating suspicious vehicle where an individual had a gun and some drugs. During that investigation, we learned that one of the witnesses had lied to us about his name, and he was actually a gentleman by the name of Hassan Moore. Hassan Moore had active many felony warrants on him, one of which was armed robbery. So deputies Saturday, they went back to the location to look for Hassan Moore. When they got there, they were directed by an employee into the store when we asked where Hassan Moore was. So we went in there. We had uniformed deputies enter the store, which was open. And when we went to the back, identified ourselves, we were met with a firearm pointed in our direction. Deputies fired and took cover, and we secured the scene. Ultimately, again, we called the SWAT team. And ended up, the individuals inside ended up being a different Hassan and ended up being, I guess, a store owner, store employee. And that's where we talked to him. Obviously, we have not arrested him. And that's the scenario. It's really that simple. We are investigating it. We have our investigative unit looking into it. And then our internal affairs will be reviewing that as well.
So, the two elements of this that stand out to me, number one is from his point of view, if he's legally got, according to the article I was reading, I think it was in the PNJ, he's legally in possession of a firearm and people are coming into his, where he lives in the back of this store and yelling at him, he's scared. That's his perspective. And on the other hand, it sounds like there were two Hassans and the name is the same. And if you don't have the last name and there's some confusion about which Hassan it is, it's easy sort of to understand. You can't justify pointing a gun at the cops, but do we have reason to believe that he even knew that your folks were law enforcement officers?
Well, I mean, we're still looking at all of it. There are some interviews left to be had and see if there's some surveillance video inside the store. But I will tell you that the deputies went there looking for a robbery suspect. They were in full uniform, and they were directed into the store. They were announcing themselves, and then someone points a gun at them. It's never okay to point a gun at a uniformed deputy. Mm-hmm. It's never okay to point a gun at anyone unless you feel like your life is in danger. And I guess if you consider the fact that you shouldn't be pointing guns at people you can't see, and if you had seen them, then you would see they were in uniform. So, again, I'm not saying that you know, the critique or the review is complete, because it is not. But I can tell you some things that'll never change, and one of those is you can't point a gun at a deputy, especially one that's in uniform doing their job. And you shouldn't be pointing guns at people that you can't see, and you shouldn't be pointing at people who may not be an immediate threat to you.
And as you say, if you can see the person, then you could see their law enforcement, and that should be the end of that as well. I do want to ask just one follow-up on that, but let me get a quick traffic break in here. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And just Garcon Point Bridge in Avalon southbound just appears to be moving very slow this morning as you're trying to get into Gulf Breeze. Also going northbound just appears to be touch and go as we're traveling along to I-10. So just be ready to expect those delays as you're commuting this morning. Also on I-10 eastbound by the Alabama-Florida border, I'm noticing delays right by the rest stop area. Not showing that there's an accident yet, but that is something that is on my radar. Also, Davis Highway and Highway 29, both slow moving in between 9 Mile and I-10. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. Sheriff, one final question I had for you on the Blue Angel grocery story. I know exactly how people will read this story and understand this story, and so I want to ask you the question that they would ask, which is, so deputies wound up in a shootout of sorts with the wrong Hassan, okay, with somebody who had the same first name but was not the right person of what I'm assuming is some kind of Middle Eastern descent. It's the kind of thing that people look at and say, this is why we need more sensitivity training. This is why we need more awareness, even just to recognize that, you know, many Middle Eastern men have the same name, and that kind of mistaken identity, that can be a challenge. How would you respond to the people who are going to raise that question or have that perception, as I'm sure many do?
I guess I would just caution people on raising perceptions of things that they don't know all the details of. I think that the Escambia County Sheriff's deputies are very well trained, and we're getting, you know, even more professional. As you know, we didn't mention it, but we got approval for the purchase of body cameras, and I think that that'll go a long ways towards the transparency that Escambia County residents, I believe, want, and that I want as the sheriff of Escambia County, so that our interactions, are visible to the public, so they know what we're doing, and they know what type of law enforcement that we're providing.
Yeah, and actually that was the next thing I was going to ask you about, so I'm glad you brought it up. Since that was a big campaign push, and you and I have talked many, many times about body cameras, I assume this is a big relief to you that they're going to be on their way and you're soon going to have those on your deputies, right?
Absolutely. In fact, I wish we'd had them over the last couple of years. Obviously, that would have been beneficial to the investigation that we talked about just a second ago. So, yeah, the approval was done on Thursday. We're working with my finance guys and trying to figure out how quick we can get them on. We have formulated our policy already. It's a standardized policy. As you know, we had them at the Pensacola Police Department when I was a police chief. And then my chief deputy, Tommy Leiter, has been at the police department the last couple of years, and they've got them. So the policies were pretty easy to come up with. We just got to get the actual cameras there, integrate them with our in-car cameras, and then, get the work with, a level of transparency that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, most definitely. And I was excited to see this happen, and it turned out to be pretty easy. You know, the county commission went along pretty easily, which was also very good news. Hey, just one or two other quick things I wanted to get to with you. The jail, you were at the ribbon cutting yesterday. It's a weird thing to do a ribbon cutting for a jail. I'll just say it. I mean, it's odd to celebrate that we have to construct this thing at all in the first place. But in terms of, you know, making safety for your officers, and in terms of a facility, this is good news for our county, right?
I think so. You know, they asked me if I wanted to say a few words, and I was honored to do so. And I was the same way you were. I mean, are we celebrating the fact that we need a big jail, or, you know, to put our bad guys in? And I spoke basically about the fact that to do things right, to do things in a way in which we can be proud, and the corrections officers will have a facility that they can work in, that they're safe, that the inmates are safe. I was part of the the groups that worked on a design when I was the assistant county administrator. I was actually on the selection committee for the contractor that ended up building the jail. So, I mean, it's a good feeling to see that all of that work and all those partnerships have come to fruition, and the jail looks great. I mean, again, it's kind of strange to say that. It's strange to do a ribbon cutting on it and celebrate it, but I think you should always celebrate things that are going to make Escambia County better.
Yeah, even the things we wish we didn't have to have, the fact that we need to have them, I mean, you know, we need them, and so let's talk about how to do it well. Last thing, Sheriff Simmons, is I think some of your deputies, along with PPD officers and maybe even some of the Pensacola Fire, might have engaged in a bit of a kickball event over the weekend. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, we're also working on more engagement with our community, and so we were happy to be a part of it. We actually served the hamburgers and the hot dogs to I think we served 500 hamburgers, I was told, but there were kids around. We had our equestrian unit out there. We had canine Sadie out there. We had members of our cadet unit was out there playing kickball with us. Members of our SWAT team were out there playing kickball. I know the fire departments had their teams. I want to say EMS may have had their teams. Air Force, the East Pensacola Baby Rattlers were out there. Again, Pensacola Police Department. We had a number of people out there. It was just a great event. Weather was great until we got the SWAT call out. So, but we anticipate having a lot more of these things. And so if the 1620 crew want to challenge us in the kickball tournament, we're in.
You win. We're out. I'm not interested in losing that badly at any physical contest. So well done. Sheriff Simmons, thanks as always for the time. Thanks for what you guys do. We certainly appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Take care.
751 here on News Radio. We're eager to face the News Radio team. Pass. Although Davis is like, come on. I'm Andrew McKay. Welcome back. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Mark Jacobs is in our newsroom this morning. Mark?
Good morning. The CDC warning of impending doom amid a possible fourth surge of coronavirus. The director getting emotional as she begged people to hold on a little while longer, keep wearing masks. At least 9 states have seen a jump in cases by at least 40%. 90% of American adults will be eligible to receive a vaccination within the next 3 weeks. President Biden speaking about the eligibility expansion during a White House event.
I'm directing my COVID team to ensure there is a vaccine site within 5 miles of 90% of all Americans.
Pharmacies offering vaccinations soon increasing to nearly 40,000 around the country. And a Florida man is a Guinness World Record holder. For how many times he's seen Avengers Endgame.
That's like the least Florida man world record ever.
Yeah.
That's just boring.
I know
by our standards.
You were expecting something else.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I was hoping for, you know, give me something.
Ramiro Alanis now holds the record for most cinema productions attended of the same film. After seeing the superhero movie within 90 days, 191 times.
Yikes.
Yee.
Wow.
You have to stay awake during all of it?
And that's your movie that you pick?
Yeah,
I mean, I would pick something a little bit more abbreviated if I were going to try to go for a world record. All right, Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Some Final Four matchups taking place yesterday. Houston moving on after they took down Oregon State, and also Baylor bouncing Arkansas 81-72.
Boring.
So, yeah,
boring game.
Well, the Houston-Oregon State game got really interesting because that game was boring, but ultimately Houston did hold off the Oregon State comeback. And we have 2 more games tonight. And of course, the other 2 teams that won are now going to be in the Final Four on Saturday. You know, the other 2 teams or 2 games that are going on tonight, you have Gonzaga taking on USC. They're the top overall seed. And Michigan, they're going to be playing UCLA, who's playing the Cinderella role this year, mm-hmm. although it's hard to call them that when they're like the all-time best team when it comes to the tournament. But still, it's fun to see an 11 seed play well in the tournament.
Are you sure they're playing the Final Four on Saturday? They didn't move it to like Wednesday or something this year?
No. How weird everything's been. No, last I checked, and I read this morning, it is going to be this Saturday.
Saturday and
with
Monday.
With a championship on Monday, which normally is how it works. I'm Davis Allen with a quick shot. Now let's move this into traffic. I just got a report that if you go northbound on Avalon, it's actually checking in clear, moving at about 45 miles per hour, so really not bad. Southbound, though, I'm still seeing delays. And also, if you're going on Garcon, just be ready to be delayed going throughout the entire northern span. It's just slow moving, trying to get into Gulf Breeze. Also, going on Gulf Breeze Parkway westbound, I'm noticing delays backed up around the Animal Hospital of Tiger Point. I-10, I-110 checking in clear, but I am noticing delays on the Highway 90 Causeway going into Pensacola. It's delayed, backed up onto the causeway. Highway 29 also delayed between 9 Mile and I-10, and I'm seeing a few delays on Davis Highway southbound around University Parkway, and then Olive Road going eastbound towards Davis Highway is backed up around the Valero gas station. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So we got the word from FDOT yesterday, Memorial Day, they say, and I have to say they say because, I mean, at this point... Just, you know, I just don't even want to date anymore. Because what good does it do? I'll be better this time. Just what's... I'm not saying they're not trying. I'm not even saying Skanska. Because I know Skanska, you kind of, you know, you want to hate Skanska. And I understand that. But, you know, most of the people who work there are probably good people trying hard. Okay? And, you know, one catastrophically bad decision. Right? And I know it's easy to lump them all in together for all the pain and suffering and woe that they've caused, you know, all of us. But still, you know, that's probably true. But look, just don't even give me a date. Because nobody believes it. And honestly, it's like, if you tell me a date, it's like, oh, God, it's going to be longer than that. You know, that's kind of the reaction, which is an understandable reaction. I think when the bridge first went out, what did I say? June to July. In fact, I said if we got it by then, we'd be ahead. Like, we'd take that. So we'll see. You know? When the bridge is open and the people are driving on it, then I'll report that it's open. We'll be back.